Father, Lord, I ask that you speak to your children, even as we go to the time of the message. I pray, Father, Lord, that your name alone will be glorified. I pray that you speak through me, Father, Lord, what you want your children to hear. And as they came, Father, Lord, will not be the way they left in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. And so shall it be in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our God is a champion, isn't it? Our God is a champion. And tomorrow he belongs to yellow team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward for you tomorrow. And I'm coming well prepared. I just discovered I was on loan from the red team to the yellow team. So I have to help the yellow team. Hallelujah. It'll be a wonderful time. And I think everybody can make it, please make it. Even if you have something for a few hours, you can even just come down and have fun. As they said, it's good and blessed when brothers dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. God bless you as you come. What I wanted to share with today is something that I've been, we had this study with the youth, and I was preparing a different message, but God said I should expand on it and bring it to the church because it's also a message for each one of us, even as adults and even our own lives, particularly in a scenario where we say this year is a year of relationships, isn't it? And we're building on that topic because we know relationships have different facets. And as the year goes by, the Lord will take us through in Jesus' name. And the topic what we're going to talk about today is we're talking of boundaries, the Jesus way. Boundaries, the Jesus way. We'll talk about boundaries and we'll look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what he meant by boundaries. And I'll start by the definition of boundaries. I think the definition is quite simple and it's quite straightforward. It's a real or imagined line that marks the limits or the edges of something and separates it from other things or places or dividing line. So it's a limit, it's an area, it's a line, imaginary or not, or it can even be physical. Hallelujah. We're all on one page on that. And now we have different types of boundaries. The first one that we know of is the physical boundaries that we're talking of. Okay? I was in the news and they're trying to bring peace to Russia and Ukraine, isn't it? And one of the options they gave, they said all the land that Russia has taken from Ukraine, Ukraine shall not get it back. That's one of the things that they put on the table, isn't it? So what does that mean? That means those boundaries are being shifted. Those were man-made. Those are physical boundaries. You have your house, you have a wall, a perimeter. You have boundaries, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, man, you don't have much of those boundaries. Where I come from, you have walls that are taller than me. And then what do you have on top of it? Barbed wire, isn't it? Do you have that in India? Oh, okay, okay. I thought it was only us that have it. Hallelujah. And those are the walls that are there, isn't it? In some developed nations, there's no walls, but then it's someone's property. In the U.S., if you cross, you get shot, isn't it? Hallelujah. But those are physical boundaries. Then we have spiritual boundaries, the second one. Things that are in the spirit. Things that we cannot see. Things that are lines that are drawn there. Our warfare is not physical, isn't it? It's not physical. It's in the spiritual realm. And in those spiritual realms, there are boundaries. I won't have time. I'm not going to focus on that today. But then there are spiritual boundaries, and we may have time. If God gives me the release, we'll look at those ones. The third one is personal boundaries. And you'll see it's in green, because that's what I'm going to highlight today. Personal boundaries. These are boundaries that you set for yourself. Are we together? Those are the ones that you call personal, they're key to you. My boundaries might be different from Brother Kenneth's boundary. It might be different from Pastor Abraham's boundaries. But these are personal boundaries that you would have. The last one are relationship boundaries. And we know in relationship boundaries, there are different types of boundaries. I think in a relationship, the first boundary was between man and woman, isn't it? God made them male and female. That's very easy. That's in Genesis. Am I correct? The second one is also, you might also have boundaries between husband and wife. And that was clearly defined in Ephesians. Okay? The roles of a husband, the roles of a wife. Okay? And then after that, we also have relationships between us and God, isn't it? There are certain lines that wouldn't cross with God. There are boundaries. Because our Lord is what? A consuming fire. You cross it, there are consequences. In relationships, those are the three basic ones that I see. Okay? Man, woman, husband, wife, and then with your God. Okay? Now, someone will ask me and say, why am I talking about boundaries? Boundaries started from the beginning of time. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, and I'll read this. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of these, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That was creation. So at creation, God had already designed boundaries. Even in creation itself, there was boundaries. He said, let there be light and let there be darkness. He demarcated it. But when he put man inside, he gave boundaries. If God didn't want to, he could have said, eat everything. Are we together? But he had a reason for putting boundaries there. So I want us to pick that from time. This is not man-created. Boundaries. Let me give you an example. It's better they didn't even start the first one. Because when they start the first one, it's easier to do the second one, the third one, and continues. Premarital sex, or even adultery. You start one, the second one becomes easy. Lying, simple lying. You lie the first one, the second one becomes very easy. Your heart becomes hardened. Are we there? So sometimes it's better that you don't even start something. That's why sometimes when I'm hearing people's walk, they'll say, I've never done this before in my life. And I say, wow, the person has maintained a boundary. And it's better that you do not cross that line. It becomes hardened. Women, I've never spoken back to my husband. It's better you have not crossed that line. Husbands, I've never hit my wife. I've never been violent to my wife. It's better. Because the first time you hit your wife, the second time it becomes easier, isn't it? Your heart has become hardened. Those are the spiritual consequences. You become hardened in what you're doing. So it's better you don't even start at all, please. Whatever you have that boundary, try to avoid starting it. Don't even try tasting it. Keep that boundary and you can come back on that last day and say, Lord, I kept to this. Number two, in that area, you start compromising your values. You start rationalizing things. Are you kidding me? You live in an environment that says it's okay for this to be happen. It's okay to have relationships that are not the same gender and everything. You start rationalizing, is their choice, this and that. I start hearing that in church. Who says that is right? Who says that's okay? It's wrong, it's wrong. But we start compromising values because we have shifted those our boundaries. You have people that are parents, they'll come out, the children, they'll say the children are gay, and then they start giving reasons why they can accept that. Your child is being very, very rude. It's being very, very disruptive. You start giving reasons, oh, the children of nowadays, this is the way they are. No. It's either right or is it wrong. We cannot normalize it. But the devil is so smart that he's normalizing these boundaries. We're shifting it. And lastly, you just lose yourself. You get to a certain place, you don't know who you are. You don't know who your identity is. Depersonalizing. You just become somebody else. You're neither here and neither there. That's what the Bible calls it, lukewarm. Praise the Lord. Am I speaking to someone? Hallelujah. Now, whatever boundaries you have put in your life, they need to be maintained. They need to be maintained. Or you end up like David. You go to a wall. When the wall is broken, you have to build it back up, isn't it? Someone wants to build a big wall between Mexico and U.S. I say, well, when you finish building it, how are you going to maintain it? It will take a lot of money. But it needs to be maintained to achieve what you want to achieve. Go to prisons. They have to be looking at the parameters of those walls constantly. If you have a house and you have a perimeter wall, don't you check it once in a while? If you have built it properly, it should last for a while. But if something is broken there, you quickly go and fill in the gap. You cannot leave it empty. And as what do I say? You should not be like David. It's quite simple. I'll use two scenarios. 1 Samuel 26:7-9. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hands this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him once with a spear, right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hands against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Now, David was not the one that was supposed to commit the sin. It was even his second in command that said, I'm going to kill him. You don't have to do anything. I was going to do it. But David had a boundary. Who am I to touch the Lord's anointed? It was his own interest. It was for him to get faster to the throne. Saul is gone. I'm next in line. I've already been anointed. But he had a boundary. He said, no, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to win this way. I'm going to allow God to win this thing for me. Now, that is a David. That's a David that had that level of self-awareness. He had that boundary that he had himself. But fast forward to 2 Samuel 11:1. It happened in the spring of the war, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Amnon and besieged Rabbah, but God remained at Jerusalem. The men were at war. David was enjoying where? Where was David? He was at home. He was not meant to be at home. He let his guard down. And his scene with Bathsheba came in. Now, it's like you and me. Sometimes you're here, you're kabashing, you're praying, Lord, I want this, I want that. God gives it to you. When God gives it to you, now you become a chief. And what happens? You forget your guard, you lose your guard, and your boundaries are broken. I have a colleague that was in the federal house in Nigeria, and I can remember that. The first time he was contested for election, he had a motto, while men slept, he was always praying. You know what I'm saying? Midnight, he was always praying. He got into the elective office. We don't see that anymore. Whatever they're doing in that place now, he's part of it. Are you with me? As you grow, you cannot let your boundaries down. You have to maintain them. the same standard you had when you had nothing is the same standard you maintain when God blesses you. Most often than not, we don't maintain the same standards. When you're in need, you pray overnight, night vigil, isn't it? When you get it, the night vigil becomes less, 1 hour, 30 minutes, and then no prayer. Hallelujah. So as I said, you end up being like David. There are consequences for not having self-boundaries. A typical one. Let me just use what we have in Oman. When I was coming to Oman, they said, oh, you're coming to a land that is, non-believers in the UK call it a dry land. And if you don't know what dry means, for a British man, when he says dry, it's not the desert he's talking about. It's, there's no alcohol. So you're coming to a dry land. And then they mention so many vices that you cannot do in the land. And I said, that's not a problem for me. Because I don't belong to that part of the world. Okay? Now, you come to the land. Let's pick alcohol for example. You're indulging in alcohol. When they catch you in alcohol, what happens? Driving with alcohol, what happens? Huh? Alcohol fine? Who said prison? Is it prison? If they catch you drinking, driving, what happens in Oman? I'm happy all of you don't know. I'm happy all of you don't know. That is your true Christians, eh? But for information, if they catch you drink driving, they'll pick you from there, go to the cell, and the next available flight, you're back home. Halas. End of story. Your time here has been finished. That's what it is. So imagine now you have your own self-boundary. I don't drink alcohol because I'm a Christian. Would that ever happen to you? It will never happen to you. And that's why a lot of you don't know. So I'm happy. But the fact that I know does not mean that I'm there. Some of you are wondering, how did I know? I had one of my colleagues, it happened to him in PDO. He had left. He was working with Shell. He was called drink driving, and he left. He had to go. All the water he had was just to keep him for a month. They were gracious a month, and then he had to leave. So there are consequences. What am I saying? There are consequences for not keeping those boundaries. Now we'll quickly go and we'll say the Jesus way. Setting boundaries the Jesus way. And that's why I'm coming. Because we have everything, we have to bring it back from the way Jesus did in his own lifetime. Number one, Jesus accepted his limits. Accept your personal limits. Jesus accepted his personal limits as a man. He came down as a man. He walked. Okay? Physically, he kept his body in the right shape. Thank God he didn't have cars. They might have donkeys, but he walked almost everywhere. Are you with me? He ate food. He was hungry. He slept. Sometimes some of us kill ourselves because we're chasing this real. We don't have time to take care of our bodies. We don't have time to sleep. You're chasing that real. In my country, that real is times, is it 4,000 or 5,000? I don't know. It's very, very strong, isn't it? And as it's strong, it's also strong to you. So you don't even rest. But Jesus Christ rested. He knew his boundaries. When it's time for him to sleep, he slept. When it's time for him to work, he worked. He walked everywhere he was. Jesus has friends. I see in church and I see some people that are all alone to themselves. They keep to themselves. But Jesus had friends. He selected the disciples to be his friends, isn't it? He had Lazarus, his best friend, that died. Who's your friend in church? He had a social life. Boundaries also. Jesus enjoyed a time of solitude. He would leave the crowd and go and pray. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Heavenly Father who is unseen. The crowd will be there. You're very popular. You're in your working place. Hey, everything is Pastor Francis, Pastor Francis, Pastor Francis. You're there, you're busy, you're chasing so many things in the office. And then you forget the time of solitude, the time you need to pray, the time that you need to meet your maker. Was that how Jesus did? Imagine him performing miracles. You want to continue, isn't it? But at the time, he'll stop and say, let me go and meet my maker. That's something that we tend to forget, a good boundary that Jesus had. And he enjoyed the whole moment. Every moment Jesus had, he enjoyed the moment. Are you enjoying your stay in Oman? Let me ask you. Are you enjoying your stay in Oman, or are you moaning and complaining? Sometimes we complain. But you cannot complain because you're here for a reason and a time like this. You might be coming from a very, very different area that it feels better. But there's a reason why you're here. And while you're here, you need to enjoy the moment. Jesus said in Mark 1:38, but he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. Because of this purpose, I've come forth. Another thing Jesus also did, he paced himself. He paced himself. The only time that Jesus was running to the cross, but he paced himself. Sometimes now we are in so much competition here that we do not know the boundaries that we have. Mr. X has done this. He has built this house. I want to build this house. Mr. Y has sent his children to Antarctica to school. I want to send my child to Antarctica to school. Mrs. Y has bought the latest Nissan Prado. Do they do Prados now? I don't know, I'm not too sure. I too must buy one. But did you see Jesus Christ doing that? No, he went at his own pace. You could not push him. Us as human beings at times, we don't form that boundary that we want to do things at our own pace. We want to compete. We become very competitive, unconsciously. He set his priorities. There was no competition. Is it that there were no Sadducees and Pharisees then for Jesus to compete with? There were. But he went at his own pace. He set his own priorities. What priorities do you have for your own self that you run and see? My priorities will not be the same priorities as Brother Jignesh's priorities. Are we in agreement? It's totally different. What I've been called to, it might be different from what he has been called to. So I cannot be running his race. I have to run my own race. Luke 16:13 says, no servant can have two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Another thing that Jesus did, and I think I see that with us in the church, he let go of what he could not control. Okay? It's not in your hands, so why are you worried? Someone asks me and tell me, oh, but Jesus is the Son of God, he could control everything. There were some certain things that were not in his control, and he let it go. I'll take you to Mark 4:32 to 36. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. There are certain things that are beyond your control. When you know they're beyond your control, you let it go to God. But you worry yourself, you're causing yourself more problems. I've learned in life, there are certain things I cannot control. I just leave it. Are you with me? You're looking to get married. You're searching. Now, don't forget I said searching. Not that you're looking to marry and just go and hide yourself. You're searching. But it's not in your hands. You live very happily and God will answer your prayer. Even regarding your own children. Your children is off on a tangent. You worry yourself so sore. You're praying day in, day out. It's in your control. You can do the limit you can do, but God will bring them back. The prodigal son and his father. The father was praying, But the fact there was nothing the Father could do because the Son was in a foreign land. It was out of his hand. Jesus Christ was praying, no, I don't want to go to the cross, but not my will, but your will be done. You're married, you don't have children. What happens? Is it in your hand? Is it in your hand? It's not in your hand. It's in God's hands. So why will you kill yourself? I come in a place in Africa, sometimes if women don't have children, you know, they need to see the kind of pressure that they'll put on you. The traditional way, isn't it? But it's not in your hand. It's God that gives children. And the way you realize that, you live your life to the fullest, that everything is in God's hands. Let's understand that boundary. If it's not in your control, whose hand is it? Let it go. Just let it go. Hallelujah. Number two, I think I have to rush. Jesus didn't entertain anything wrong. In his lifetime, what is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. A lot of us know what is right and what is wrong. But we just try to justify what is wrong to be right. He protected his time above all. As multitudes came in, he will run away and protect his time. Now, this is very important to us as Christians. You need to protect your time. If I have Brother Vipin that is visiting me 24/7 at a certain time, I'm very hospitable. Brother Vipin, come in. But if he's coming and when I'm going to pray, or it's my prayer time, I'll say, Brother Vipin, I need to pray at a certain point, isn't it? No offense. I get it. But that's not the Brother Vipin issue. I don't think Brother Vipin will come to my house every day. Hallelujah. When you say to protect time, what do we need to protect the most? Social media, electronics. Understand this. It's at the tip of your hands. You don't protect time. Productive time is lost. TV, mobile phones, is there. Isn't it? You're not protecting your time. Sometimes I have people that will come to my office. When I'm busy, I'll just protect my time. Thank God for, there are various tricks that you can use. I'll tell you, maybe you don't use that one anyways. In my office, sometimes there are some people that will come and knock my door and they just want to waste my time. So what I do is I put in my headphones. Of course, my screen is this way, isn't it? So you're entering, you're seeing it. My headphones are on. Sometimes I'm really working. And I might be listening to music. But the person will put his head there. Once he sees the air max, oh, he's in a meeting. And he passes away. And I continue doing my work. I get to my picture. But the second my mic is off, the person is there. And sometimes you have to be very diplomatic. You have to tell somebody, I'm busy. But I can also tell the person I'm busy if it comes to. So what am I trying to say? You need to protect your time. Make the hours that you're awake to count. Don't allow it to be frivolous. We're going to Al-Sawadi Chalet tomorrow, isn't it? Who says it's a waste of time there? Is it a waste of time? It's not a waste of time. How will I make it count? I'll make it count by meeting somebody that I haven't met before in church. Isn't it what I'm saying? It make it count. Let those hours count. Because after church, by the time everybody goes out, we meet in all our caucuses. Whether I'm a Nigerian for this side, whether I'm Tamil, whether I'm, Malayalam, or whether I'm Gujarati, everybody has their own section, isn't it? But then you have 8 hours that people are not in different sects. You mix up. Your team is there. Let it count. Get to know somebody. Get to bless somebody. I had a business, I was laughing in my discipleship class. I had a business I was talking about, and I was asking brother, someone said, I'm into logistics, shipping. I said, I was looking for someone into shipping. Let's try to have a business together. Get to know somebody. It counts. It's not a waste. So protect your time. Jesus did that. Number two, that sense of entitlement. As we have in a relationship, do you know what sense of entitlement is? Praise the Lord. Sense of entitlement. Sense of entitlement is when somebody feels you owe him, isn't it? And sometimes it can happen in the family. Parents will feel, children, you owe me. Children will say, parents, you owe me. A friend will say, you owe me. And the second you are trying to pay off those sense of entitlement, you get all tired out. Your pockets are drained. You're emotionally drained. I'm not trying to say you cannot help people. But sense of entitlement needs to stop at a certain point. And I'll give an example. In the Bible there, Matthew 12, 46 to 50, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to one who told him, who is my mother and who is my brother? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. His mothers and brothers can say, Jesus, we want to see you now. But he was ministering to other people. Are you with me? Brother Kenneth, I put you through school, so your first salary every month, I need to get something out of it. Sense of entitlement. People feel they owe, you owe them. And you'll see that in this world. Wherever you are, whether in the office or whatever it is, I have a colleague, my MD brought him to the company. And in any meeting, it sounds like, you owe me. You know what I'm saying? It happens. But you have to put that boundary. Are you with me? And sometimes it's the hardest one because sometimes it involves family. It involves family. Please, as adults, as parents, when we have kids and they're getting newly into marriage life, let's not put any burden on them or sense of entitlement. They'll take care of us in the due time. If you have raised them well, they'll do that. But don't make a sense of entitlement onto it. Are you with me? Jesus gave us an example. He put that boundary there. Another thing also is, Jesus did not even offer himself to debating questions. When the Pharisees came and asked him sorts of debatable questions, he didn't waste his time. As Christians right now, we get involved in a lot of debates and things that are not even controversial. Are you with me? You put the boundary against that. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. Are you with me? The Pharisees came and asked him, wasn't it? Who should you pay taxes to? They wanted to catch him. And the Lord said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, isn't it? People will come with different fashions, trying to engage you. And even sometimes, the ones that even close, sometimes your kids want to engage you to a certain debate or certain things. And sometimes you just draw the line and say, hey, I'm not having this discussion. You understand what I'm saying? This is right, this is wrong, I'm not having this discussion anymore. In the office, people will try to test your faith. But you don't have that. You don't have to have that discussion. You don't afford to be baited into it. That's what Jesus taught us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people also try to manipulate you. Unconsciously try to manipulate you. The disciples tried it with Jesus, isn't it? Matthew 16, 21 to 23. For that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests, and to be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far it from me, you. Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter was trying to move him away from his goal in life. You will see people that will try to manipulate you. Even his disciples, some of them wanted to sit wherever next to him. They wanted to be in a position of power and authority. Isn't it? You go to the office, you see people that are trying to suck up to the boss, isn't it? We say suck up to the boss for favors. Believe me, it's not only in the secular, even the church. People want to suck up to either the pastor or the leader to get some things in return, isn't it? But Jesus was never manipulated. He was never manipulated. You meet people that will try to manipulate you for their own selfish reasons. But you have to be able to draw the boundary on that. Who are the biggest manipulators? Mommy and daddies, who are the biggest manipulators? Children! In Nigerian parlance, they'll say they know how to press your mumu button. They know how to, where to press, and they'll get whatever they want, isn't it? Now, if they're pressing those buttons, and I give them everything, will they turn out right? No! But because they're your offspring, oh, tender, this and this. I tell my son, I said, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to raise you right. Okay? So that is the thing that's important. It's tough love, as you put it. But you don't allow people to manipulate even from within. That boundary needs to be set. Jesus gave us example. Another thing also, my time is running up, sir, but speak the truth. 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 Now, the reason why I'm saying this, as Christians, we don't speak the truth at times. Why don't we speak the truth? Because you're afraid you will offend somebody. Stephen, before he was stoned, he said, I see Jesus sitting on the side on the right hand of God. He spoke the truth unto death. A life I've lived that. I'll say the truth no matter what. That's the boundary I've put. The only thing I'll add to that is try and make it in love. But speak the truth. We are Christians, sometimes don't say the truth because it will benefit us. And you don't want to offend somebody. So you keep quiet even when you know it's the truth. Sometimes there's something they say that you need to speak truth to power, isn't it? If I can speak truth to my pastor, is it my MD that I cannot speak truth to? You understand what I'm saying? If I can speak truth to my spouse, who is it I cannot speak the truth to? But the Lord said, speak in love. That's why you have to manage that interface. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head of Christ. If you are in my team, and everything you say is yes, 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 then I don't think you're a valuable member, team member. Are you with me? If somebody comes and says yes, 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 whatever you say goes, whatever it says goes, are you making any progress in life? Are you? Because you will not see the other side of it. But when somebody comes with reconstructive ideas and tells you something truthfully, you sit back and you analyze it and you take it. Speak the truth. Wherever you are, put that boundary and promise yourself, I'll speak the truth. Don't mask it. Political correctness has asked us to mask so many things now in life, isn't it? I cannot go to the West and say, a man is a man, a woman is a woman. If there's anything I watch in the last thing, whether you like him or not, I'm not too sure what side of the political divide you are if you're watching America, okay? And I'm not bothered. But if there's something that man said on his inauguration day that was jumping on my seat, he said there are only two genders, male and female. Do you know how strong that statement was? I don't understand how that strong statement was very strong. This is the truth. And coming from that man, things started changing. People's orientation started recalibrating that this is what it is because one man dared to say the truth. We can't forget any other thing. That statement, I'm just looking at that context of that statement. So whatever you are, say the truth in love, the way Jesus Christ did. The other point I have is, as you go in life, look to do good. Jesus went about doing good. Look to do good always. Jesus wanted to say, what do you want me to do? Do you want to get well? Are you with me? Do you believe? Part of your boundary is looking to do good. If you're not looking to do good to someone, then that is not a right boundary. It's not an area you should be in, isn't it? Jesus gave us an example. Whatever I'm seeking to do, I should be looking to do good. If I see my brother, my sister, they want to go along this line, or they want to go, I'm looking for their good, I'm looking for their own interest. I love working with the youth. One of the reasons why I love working with the youth is for them to be able to realize their potential in Christ. If they do well, I'm very happy. If they do well, the church is better for it. Am I correct? If your children do well, you're better for it. The society is better for it, isn't it? Wherever God has put you in place, look to do good. Whatever ministry you find yourself, look to do good. And part of doing good is developing those around you. Don't have a talent. Don't have a gift and bury it. At times, the church can be difficult. You might have a talent. And a lot of things stops you from displaying that talent. Don't give up. Don't give up. Press on. Whatever talent you need to develop, develop it. Either for here or for now or later on, develop it. But look to do good. Look to do good. Praise the Lord. So the 3 points I said, accept your personal limits. Never entertain wrong. Speak the truth, and look to do good always. If you have those 4 things and you're looking at setting your boundaries, if you fit into that, you can never be wrong. Guided by the word of God. Guided by the word of God. Now, one of the things I will say as I conclude. We need to protect our hearts in all that we're doing. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If your heart is in the right place, your boundaries will be in the right place. Now, I'll throw something in as I conclude sometimes. And I don't have time to go on that. Sometimes we put up a boundary outside. We stop Jesus Christ from coming in. Those boundaries need to give way. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, he opens the door, and I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. What are you doing? What is God saying there? God is respecting. There's a building you find yourself. Your body is a temple on its own. He's not asking you to bring down the walls because you have boundaries, but he's asking you, open the door and let me come in. Hallelujah. That brings us back to the beginning. This is Revelations. The boundaries are there. Because God would have said, he does not need a wall. He can come in, but he asks, open the door. He knows he has given you a choice. He has given you boundaries. He's actually opened the door that I may come in. That means God is interested in us keeping boundaries. Based on that, I would just say, protect your relationship with Jesus. God bless you as we put godly boundaries in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Setting boundary in Jesus' way. The question I want to ask you is, do you even set boundary at all? Do you have an open boundary? What type of boundary are you setting? Or are you setting boundary and pulling it down yourself? Accept your personal limit. Never entertain wrongs. Always speak the truth. Look to do good always. And I will round up with that Proverbs 4:23 that brother just mentioned. Above all else, guide your heart, for everything you do flow from it. That means you need to set boundary within your heart. And I pray that the Spirit of God will continue to guide us and direct our path to set the right boundary in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray whatever boundary you are setting for yourself, Satan will never pull it down in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to appreciate you and thank you for reminding us, Lord, that we need to set boundary. We thank you for the message that we have heard this afternoon. We thank you that you remind us that we need to guide ourselves. We need to guide our behaviors. We need to guide our action. We need to take care of ourselves. Father, we thank you for this message that we have received this afternoon. We pray that this message that be fruitful in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. And we bless the source of the message that you have given us this afternoon, that your presence shall never depart from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen him more so that we can receive more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. The source of wisdom, the source of knowledge you have given unto him shall never dry up in Jesus' name. Bless him, bless the work of his hand. Bless Easter, bless the children. Bless the church of God as well in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for today's service. Thank you for your manifestation. Thank you for your presence in our midst. And as we depart here, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. We shall go safely. And when we meet tomorrow, everything shall be to your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. We cover every activities of tomorrow with the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus shall shield us from all sorts of injuries in the mighty name of Jesus. We are going there to rejoice, to celebrate, to interact, and to establish more relationship with ourselves. Father, we pray that you go ahead of us in the mighty name of Jesus. And you come with us in Jesus' name. And you be with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let us be on our feet. And before we share the grace, please listen to this further announcement. As soon as we are out of the door, please always get the doorway cleared for the next service. Because we are obstructing the next service. Let's move under the canopy and fellowship together. Don't gather together at the doorway. And again, for tomorrow, please try to dress up in the color code of your group. And every team leader, please see Brother Shashi and Brother Eva after the service. And for this wristwatch, it was dropped in the offering bag last week. Please try to see me and take it. God bless you. Let's joyfully share the grace together in fellowship. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week ahead.